Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sins. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. So you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where Steve Smith became the leading six hitter in this season's Big Bash after just three games, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Flat bat, low arch, six more. That's a crazy shot from Smith. Took it from outside off stump. And almost swept it.
Crazy.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke, and Mark Waugh thinks it's all crazy.
Well, it is when Steve Smith does it.
It is, yes.
Scoring back-to-back centuries,
mm-hmm.
and he's the first and the second man to score a century for his franchise.
Yes, yeah, the Sixers had famously never had anyone score a century. They'd gone close, a few 90s, but Smith was the first one he hit. He's so far this BBL season, of which he's only played three games at the time of recording. He's hit 18 Toyota Sixes and 14 Chemist Warehouse Fours, if you can believe it.
Oh, incredible. And if you're buying a new Toyota, there's going to be a few dents in the bonnet from all those hits, right?
Definitely, definitely. So, yeah, so the Scorchers and the Sixers, they're miles in front of everybody. They're the top two teams by about, I don't know, 15 points or something there. But I'm still not convinced they're going to be the two finalists. I reckon one of them will stuff it up, right?
It doesn't usually happen, does it? Yeah. I mean, you get four teams in the finals and inevitably one of the two strongest teams just
crashes
never makes
out.
It.
Yep. Yeah. Or if they're the Stars, they make it to the final, then they crash out in the final, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket for Chemist Warehouse, but we just have time to cover Australia and Pakistan. A lot of sponsors.
Got to keep the sponsors happy, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So we're halfway through Australia's inevitable clean sweep of Pakistan in the ODIs and T20s, right?
Yeah. Yes. There's been a lot of highlights, most of them by Australia.
Yes.
In particular, Phoebe Litchfield making her one-day debut and then immediately hitting back-to-back unbeaten half centuries and just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to make something out of 50 Litchfield, but I couldn't quite make it work. So
I think you wanted to rename the Alan Borderfield to Phoebe Litchfield.
Phoebe Litchfield, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't make any of the puns work, really.
Yeah.
But we also have Meg Lanning back, and she's also scoring back-to-back 50s. It's all back-to-back 50s for these top order women.
Mm.
But we also discovered just before the first match that Lanning spent some of her time off working in a cafe.
Fantastic.
How good would that be? How strange would it be to go into a cafe and sit down and get a cup of coffee and have Meg Lanning come over and take your order?
I wonder what her specialty is. I mean, she works in a Melbourne cafe. We don't know it was in Melbourne. Let's assume it was.
Assume it was.
It'll be a magic or one of those weird Melbourne coffees that you can order.
Maybe. I'm not an expert on coffee. I'd order an extra slice of cake from her or something. Yeah.
Do you think that her teammates went, well, Meg, if you're going to take 6 months off, you need to come back actually being able to do something useful, like make us some really good coffee.
Yeah, maybe she's been hopeless for like years and years and they've all just sledged her and she thought, right, this is what I'm going to do in my time off. I'm going to get the coffee right, you know, make my teammates respect me.
Well, it's a big deal for the cricketers. They often talking about coffees. So anyway, she'd certainly get a big tip if we'd gone into her cafe.
Yeah. Yes. The tip would have been, get back to playing cricket, mate.
Yeah. Who knows? She could be a better barista than she is a cricketer.
Oh, it's hard to imagine, but I guess anything's possible, right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. In addition to the back-to-back 50s from Litchfield and Lanning, Beth Mooney went one better. Mm-hmm. She got a 50 followed by 100.
Good work, so Beth.
Good work. Very good work from Beth. And it did occur to me that this is the 50th episode of season 3 of this podcast.
Is it really?
It is indeed. So season 2 was just 17 episodes, but season 1 was 175. So, you know, we're averaging, what, you know, a couple hundred?
Inconsistent.
We're wildly inconsistent, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But no ducks just yet.
No ducks quite yet. No.
Although we've got a dog in the background that is squeezing a squeaky duck. If you've heard a few squeaks in the background, that is Bobbin squeaking her squeaky duck. But I don't think it'll rub off on the Australian women.
Hopefully not, yes. No. Anyway, that top three, they hogged all the time at the crease in the first two matches because, you know, they're the only ones who aren't bowlers on the team graphic. They put up the team graphic and it's just like...
Everyone bowls.
Three batters, seven batting bowlers.
Yeah.
And then one bowler, poor old Megan Shute.
All-rounders.
But they did give everybody else a hit in the third match because Australia batted first, and so they thought, all right, we can all have a chance at this one. That was fine, but nothing quite as exciting as what Nita Dhar did in the third match with the bat, right?
Yeah, I mean, she waited till... she pretty much waited. McGrath was bowling, McGrath was bowling, and she basically had pretty much bowled the ball, and then Nita Dhar just pulled out away, just let the ball hit the stumps and pulled out, and then just said, you know, I was distracted or whatever. I think she just hadn't looked up in time. And McGrath, fair enough, just said, I'm bowling anyway.
Yeah.
And she just stood her ground and the umpire, I think, said to Meg Lanning, are you appealing for that? And Meg goes, I'll let her stay.
Yeah, very kind, very generous, So I particularly like this because it was a channeling of both Glenn Maxwell's infamous leave and also W.G. Grace of, you know, they didn't come here to watch you bowl, McGrath. They came here to watch me bat.
I love that she's channeling W.G. Grace. That's fantastic. I mean, McGrath, you know, a bit annoyed, didn't get the wicket.
Yeah, whatever. But I do like how Meg Lanning was able to be very sporting about it all and say, that's fine, doesn't really matter. When you're like 1,000 runs ahead of your opponent, you can do that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Here, have a coffee.
Yes. That does make you wonder why Steve Waugh wasn't quite so generous when he was captain, because his teams were usually about 1,000 runs ahead of the opposition.
Do you reckon Steve Waugh would have let
Steve
Waugh
doesn't make coffee for anybody.
No, absolutely not. And back in the pavilion, Nita, I think Steve Waugh would have said.
Yep, Steve Waugh would have given her a good send-off.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably also after a McGrath boulder.
Oh, of course. Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And we did have one final thing from the ODI series after.
Oh, well, it was a very cute little video that was posted by, one of the Australians, someone.
Mm.
Fatima Sana asked Jess Jonathan, can I go and talk to Perry? Perry is my hero.
Yep.
So she asked if she could go talk to Elise Perry, which is very adorable. And I'm presuming she did go off and have a conversation with her.
Let's hope she managed to track her down, because they couldn't find her at first. Uh-huh. So anyway. Good enough talking to Jess Jonathan, I would have thought. But anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, Australia will begin their 3-0 T20 series win over Pakistan tomorrow.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, I'm cheating on the podcast again. I've got another new podcast, but this time it's not the Ridiculous Ashes podcast.
Well, I think you're officially cheating on the Ridiculous Ashes podcast, which was originally cheating on the Can't Ball, Can't Throw. So it's sort of cheating inception, podcast cheating inception, a very specific style.
So this one is like the Ridiculous Ashes podcast, but it's a little less Englandy and a little more India-ish. So this is the Ridiculous Border Gavaskar podcast. Same idea, going back in time, looking at old series and finding out which team was more ridiculous. So this time I've got Bharat Sundaresan, he's my co-host, and we're currently covering the 2017 series, which was the last time Australia toured India. And there
it was a funny series.
It was a very funny series. We've just dropped the first test. That's in your podcast feed or in a podcast feed. If you
Is that Matt Renshaw pooing his pants?
It's Matt Renshaw pooing his pants. It's Stephen O'Keefe taking the exact same figures of 6 for 35 in both innings. It's Bjarett Kohli leaving deliveries that go on to hit his stumps. It's all kinds of silly stuff. So it's a very silly test, a very silly series. So if you're at all interested in India and Australia playing ridiculous cricket, come search for us. Search for Ridiculous Border Gavaskar on the podcast provider of your choice.
Secure them jailed.
You do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup.
Cut deals that include some jail time.
No jail time.
He's not going to want to hear that you have endangered our operation just to get your thugs out of a little jail time.
Here we are in jail time. Jail time, of course, brought to you by Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime, it's Prime Amazon.
JL time.
Yes.
Usually JL time, we talk a lot about Justin Langer, but sadly, I mean, he hasn't really been in the limelight enough for me.
No, not recently. And not enough because we are about to talk about The Test Season 2, which did drop on Amazon Prime. And there's just not enough JL in this particular season, I don't think. He's there for the first couple of episodes. There's only four episodes this time. Last time it was eight episodes. This time it's four. I think they're just going to halve it each season until it gets down to like a, you know, 15-second come on commercial.
Yeah, maybe. I did hear that maybe there was a bit more JL in there. It got cut out. So I think it actually suspect it may have been eight episodes long. And for some reason, they had to cut a little bit of the JL time.
It would have been good if they did. But so not quite enough JL. He was doing most of his usual shtick, you know, swearing at the players and telling them to buck up and, you know, pay respect to the baggy green and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they eventually said, we've had enough of this. So he's written out of the story and not in the back half of the season. But what were some of the highlights for the...
lots of highlights. Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of people have said it's not as good as season one, but I really enjoyed season two. So one of the main highlights was Pat Cummins' bookshelf. We saw a real close-up of Pat Cummins' bookshelf. In fact, we went back. I said, can we go back and just pause and take some photos of this? So we do know what books Pat Cummins has on his bookshelf. So some of the sample books was Bill Bryson's A Short History of Everything.
Yep. And we also had Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs and Steel.
Have you read that one?
I have read that one. That's a really good book, actually.
What's that about?
It's basically about how the shape of the continents basically defined which nations would rise up. So, that's a very detailed history of the world and showing why some countries were dominant over others. That's very interesting.
We also have Christopher Hitchens' Hitch 22.
Mm-hmm. And this one I particularly like. Yeah, it's Susan Cain's Quiet, which is about introversion, basically. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we've both read that book. That is a fabulous book.
Yeah, and of course Charles Darwin's The Origin of Species. So lots of non-fiction in there for Pat, lots of science-based, popular science-based non-fiction.
But also some fiction, and the fiction is, I mean, I kind of suspect, I got the feeling that he hasn't bought a paper book since he was a teenager.
Probably.
Because the fiction was, you know, the girl with the dragon tattoo.
There were a few of the girls. There was the girl with the dragon tattoo, the girl who played with fire, the girl who bowled late-moving in-swingers.
Oh,
a few of those.
Yep. And A Lonely Girl is a Dangerous Thing. Sorrow and Bliss.
Yeah. But he did have some John Grisham as well, so there's all kinds of stuff.
Lots of the Harry Potter series too.
Yes, he did. He'd go and say how when he was a youngster, he liked his Harry Potter. He'd read them all, then go back to the beginning and read them all again. So good work from Pat there.
But we presume that it'd be actually probably more interesting to see the inside of his Kindle or whatever he uses, his e-reader.
Yeah.
Because that'll be his latest books.
Yep. We also had, moving away from Pat, we had poor Cameron Green crying in the dressing room after he was dismissed. Very sad.
Was very sad.
Poor Cameron Green.
I mean, I presume they all cry, but some of them wait till they get to the shower. I mean, it's a very sad thing to get dismissed. It is awful.
Poor giant puppy. We also had a sad Glenn Maxwell as well because he was all excited about being part of the test squad. He thought he was going to play. Then all of a sudden Travis Head started passing fitness tests and so we had to have a sad Glenn Maxwell. But moving on from the sadness, we had some quite amusing moments.
We had some joyous Usman Khawaja.
Yes.
I mean, he did talk a little bit about the racism in the team, which is very disappointing. But apart from that, everything he did on this, he was so cool. He's like the best, coolest kid in the team, I reckon.
Yeah, everyone wants to be like Usman.
Oh, yeah. How was the 1990s parachute tracksuit top in, pink and yellow and white?
I'm just sad that, he didn't somehow convince the rest of the team to all get them. And, that's the new team uniform. Imagine if they just rocked up to, the World Cup later this year and that's the Australian kit. That'd be fantastic.
Could easily be because they did have one of those. I can remember Steve Waugh wearing a parachute style yellow and green.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of tantrums and swears from the players when they were dismissed. Lots of throwing of bats. And
yeah, we saw a lot of that, didn't they? They'd come in and they'd swear and they said, "Shouldn't be getting me out," and they'd throw something. No one kicked over a bin though, so that's what they were missing without the Justin Langer influence.
No, that's right. Nothing as novel as all of that. What else do we have?
We have Marnus's toasty recipe, which was. Perhaps not as exciting as you would think. It's basically just a normal toasty, but instead of eating it straight away while it's hot, you put it in a fridge and then go have a net session, which feels perfectly Marnus-like.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the cold cheese is actually, I see where he's coming from here. But I wonder how many moldy cold toasties do you think his teammates have cleaned out of the fridge over the years?
God only knows. Well, he did get into trouble last summer, the summer before. Justin Langer, got up him on time because he smuggled a toasty onto the ground. And at the time, I thought that was a bit odd, but it was obviously just one he grabbed out of the fridge.
Yeah.
Maybe he's looking for a bin to chuck it in because it had gone mouldy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Marnus only really was doing the toasties for himself. Mm. But I do adore Warner. David Warner, who collects everyone's laundry. Anything for the washing machine?
He's just like a washerwoman, isn't he? I don't think he does it in the washing machine. Right. I think he does it by hand.
In the ice bath, perhaps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love him coming through and collecting the clothes to be washed.
Yeah. Back to Pat Cummins. There was a very amusing segment where everybody revealed that Pat Cummins was crap at Call of Duty. So when they have to fill in time, they get on the local network and start playing Call of Duty against one another. And we saw Pat Cummins, who just looked, like I do when I play these games, just walking into a wall and not knowing where I am and turning around and then
someone's shot me again 30 seconds in.
So good to see Pat Cummins plays Call of Duty that.
And also really, if they really want to win, let's just play Pat.
Yes. We also got a glimpse into Steve Smith's oat milk business,
This was strange. I mean, he started it up when he was banned from the game and then he went on and, bought a factory. I don't know what he did. It was so bizarre. There were a lot of absurd moments in these four episodes, but how did Smith and oat milk not get cut?
I don't know. They must have been desperate for non-Justin Langer footage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not the only thing he did because we also saw him making, unnecessary thumb guards for his gloves.
Yes. Yeah, definitely needed more thumb guard material. So he was cutting pieces of felt or something to put at the bottom of his thumb in his gloves so it'd be, easier to bat with.
A bit of extra padding, yeah.
So some weird Steve Smith thing. And Glenn Maxwell just was looking and going, "What the hell are you doing? You're a very weird man."
Yeah.
Which he is, but he's a weird man who owns an oat milk factory. So that's
indeed.
Fine.
And then a couple of other members of the team, Travis Head and Alex Carey, they just got to go have a beer.
Yeah, they met one another. They live around the corner from one another, apparently. Yeah. So they went, got a beer, talked about fatherhood. It looked like about the 13th take of that conversation. Yeah.
Did a bit.
So, I'm not quite sure.
Several kids in the background as well.
Yeah. And, of course, the final thing I've got here in my notes is Nathan Lyon learning sign language. So that was kind of cute. And they gave him a symbol which looked like a long beard, like a billy goat's beard. That's your name, Nathan. You're a long beard. You're the goat.
I think there were a lot of highlights. We've spoiled them all for you now. But go away and watch it anyway. Definitely worth it.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week. The funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
All right, you're here in the KFC Muller Award, which celebrates, of course, great, ridiculous, brilliant, wonderful, stupid moments.
I forgot to mention, too, that the previous segment, the JL Time segment, was also brought to you by Devoroat Milk.
That's almost as good as my Phoebe Litchfield.
Yeah.
50 Litchfield puns.
50 Litchfield, yeah.
All right, so what have we got first in the muller for this particular week?
Well, the first one, and we may well just quickly gloss over this one, Karl Stefanovic and Michael Clark getting messy in a park.
Yep, they're up far north Queensland, decided to punch on for some reason. They're dating sisters, and they decided they'd have a fight, and as a result, I don't think Michael Clark will be commentating in India for the next tour.
Yeah,
that was, I'm sure, if you search any social media or website, you will find more footage of this than you ever want to see.
That's right, including Michael Clark somehow injuring himself and not wearing a shirt.
Speaking of annoying people who we probably don't want to know much more about, our good mate Jarvo. Remember Jarvo? Jarvo 69, yeah. He popped back up in England. He somehow snuck a tape of sex noises into a broadcast of a soccer match.
Oh, hilarious.
Yep, good stuff from Jarvo, as always.
Just hilarious. I'm sure you can find that online as well.
Yep, can't wait to see what he's got cooked up for the Ashes. I bet it'll be very, very funny indeed.
I can't believe you didn't use that hilarious audio to start our show today.
Yeah. But I have a theory that if Jarvo, shows up at any point during the Ashes, that should be it. Australia should just be, no, you guys retain the Ashes. Don't care. Doesn't matter if England have baseballed their way to 4.5-0.
Yep.
If Jarvo shows up on the last day, then that's it. Ashes go back to Australia. Yep. I think that's only fair.
Indeed. Well, we also had a number of sixes hit at Marvel Stadium only by hitting the roof. Maxwell, of course, saying all the players know the shortest boundary at Marvel is straight up in the air.
Yeah. So, this was when the Renegades were playing. I can't even remember who they were playing now, but I think it was the Stars, right? Was it the Stars?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a crunch game and they kept top edging it, hitting the roof and getting six for it. And
basically, it was decided by these sixes to the roof.
Well, it would have been if they'd had any sense, because they needed six to send it to a super over off the last ball.
Yeah.
And the foolish batter on strike didn't even try to hit it straight up. He tried to hit it out of the ground and failed, missed, and the Renegades somehow won that game. It was a quite kind of remarkable win.
But more exciting news, though, in overseas cricket news, the Under-19 Women's World Cup is in progress.
Yes.
And they love man catching.
They do, yeah.
They really love it.
Yeah, so this is the first Under-19 Women's World Cup and they've gone absolutely crazy. So there's been man cads, there's been kind of run-outs where the bowlers kind of backing into fielders trying to take second runs. It's been very exciting. It's got everybody, all kinds of people angry about different laws of the game and interpretation. So fantastic.
Yeah, cutting edge. Sorry to jump on the bandwagon here,
but
I've come around to thinking there should be more man cad warnings. Mm-hmm. And stick with me here. Specifically, what I want people to do is whenever there's any avowed non-man-catting bowler bowling, Jimmy Anderson or
Stuart Broad,
the non-striker needs to warn them that they're about to leave their crease early. So, hey, Jimmy, just a heads up, I'm going to leave my crease early this next delivery.
Fantastic, yes.
And give them a warning just so that while they're bowling, of course, they can't man-cat.
It's in their mind,
It's in their mind. They're nervous. Yep. I think it'll put them right off their game. I'd love
the Australians will definitely be trying that in the Ashes.
Yeah. Love the non-strikers to be doing more of that.
Yep.
So just a heads up to the Australian team. I'm suggesting there should be more of this.
Fantastic. A couple more. It's a jam-packed muller segment. Looks like the 2028 Olympics will have six nations competing in T20 cricket.
Oh, wow.
That's
exciting.
A 50-50 chance of getting a medal. So that's great for whichever nations happen
that's
to
compete. That's extremely good
there.
Odds. And if you're a women's team, of course, there's only a 2 in 5 chance of getting a medal if you're not Australia.
Yes, of course.
The Olympics are going to be in Los Angeles, and this is both men and women, apparently. So, I think this is great. It'll be the top six of whatever the rankings are at the moment when they decide to cut it off.
Yep.
And we all know who's going to win the women's medal, but the men's medal might be a bit more
open.
It could
be very interesting. Yeah. And finally, we've got the ICC is a nomination because they lost some money in a cyber scam.
Wow.
they clicked on some kind of unsavory link in an unsolicited email, lost, I don't know, $250 million or something. Maybe not that much, but they lost a lot of money.
Yep.
Because, of course, they did. They're the ICC. You can rely on them to do all kinds of stupid stuff.
Mm.
So lots and lots and lots of nominations. Do you have an idea of who should win it?
I think Marvel Stadium needs to win it.
You reckon? Okay.
We haven't given it to a stadium for a while.
I don't think we have, no, but I'm happy to give it a stadium. Let's give it to Marvel Stadium.
Mm.
All right. So that pretty much brings us to an end, right?
Yeah, that's right. You've been listening to Dan Lipke and Kat Jones. Dan is at Lieb Cricket on Twitter and presumably on Mastodon.
Still on Mastodon, yep.
And I'm at CricketBatCat. I'm also on Mastodon. I'm not sure
checking
why.
Regularly, yep.
You can follow us at Can't Bowl Throw, and we are also on Facebook for all of you geriatrics out there. And we would love to see you and hear you next time. We will talk to you in a week or so.
Bye.
Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.